thankful you're all here today. Thankful Chris is back. I mean, she's good every time, but today was exceptional. I don't know, she got a second wind on vacation there, and she was hitting it hard today. Sounded great. But it's Veterans Day. We do want to thank them. We do want to pray for them. We appreciate them. And, you know, voting is proof of that. You've taken advantage of freedoms that you give you. I've got it. I got it. I remembered. You know, Ronald Reagan said, some people live an entire lifetime and wonder if they ever made a difference. Said a veteran doesn't have that problem. Hopefully they recognize it every day when they look around, seeing people living their lives in a freedom that they may not have had if it wasn't for them. So we thank our veterans for what they put in. We're going to start out, got a couple readings today. One's Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Deuteronomy chapter 9, 1 through 6. Can you hear me in the back? I don't need sleepy people like Joni had. Don't come take a nap back there. I'm watching you. Deuteronomy 9, 1 through 6 says, "Hear, Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls to the sky. The people are strong and tall, Anakites. You know about them, and I've heard it said, who can stand up against the Anakites? But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you. And you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly as the Lord has promised you. After the Lord your God has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness. No, it is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It's not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going in to take possession of the land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations. The Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people." You know, God's a loving God. God's a God of peace. God's a forgiving God. All those things that we need. We need forgiveness. We need grace. God is all of those things. And we like to talk about those things. And a lot of people talk about those things. And a lot of people only talk about those things. But there is in those qualities of God. But God is also a warrior. God is also a judge. God is also righteous. God is also just. God also punishments. There's another side to God that people sometimes don't want to talk about or don't even want to believe. They just overlook that side. They just look, God is love, and if that's what he is, he would never do that to people. But God is has the punishment side of God. It's not something to be ignored. But God calls us into fighting with him. You know, God says, you know, I'm going to go in before you. I'm going to take care of this. But he didn't tell them to wait back there. They got to participate. They're going in. They're sharing in the battle. They're being used by God to fight evil. And so he uses us for the same thing. You know, he says, I'm going to give this land, but you've got to fight for it. You know, I'm just not going to hand everything to you. You've got to participate. You've got to be part of this journey. You've got a path. He said, you know, he told them, you know, it's not always going to be easy. They're big. You know, they're strong. You know, they've got high walls. You know, it's not going to be easy. And you know about them. You've heard about them. You understand who they are. You know what you're getting into. And he says, I'm calling you to go, but you won't be alone. I'm calling you to do this, but you won't leave alone. Matter of fact, I'm going to be leading you. I'm going to be right there with you. And so he calls us to go. Now, you know, he says, just trust me. You know, Christians have battles too. Veterans have had their battles. Christians have battles. You're all veterans in the Christian branch of the whatever we're talking about here. You're a veteran because you've been in battles, and God's led you in battles, and you know, you just don't sit back, and God does everything. Again, we're partners with Him. He's our leader. He's our warrior. He's our commander. But we have to be there too. And you know, He's saying, "Trust me in it. You know, move forward. Do what I ask you to do." You know, it wasn't easy for them. You know, Israel. You know, Caleb and Joshua were the only two that understood. You know, 10 others didn't think it could be done. You know, if 2 12 said 17% trusted God, that God said, "I'm going to do this. This, I want you to go in. I want you to take care of these people. I want you to take the land." 17% trusted God enough to actually do it. And that might be about right today. Christian people, it might be about 17% that really follows what He wants to do. Tells you to do something, you actually do it. We may not have changed all that much, but try to be a Caleb, try to be a Joshua. Trust in Him, go in and go get it. You know, He says, "I'm going to give you victory, not how great you are." You know, this is not about you. This is, or how righteous you are, or your integrity. It's because of these wicked nations. You know, it's this God punishes, and He uses us for some of those battles, and the battles are against wickedness. You know, how many battles aren't? You know, World War II, World War I, although those are fairly easy. Somebody's trying to annihilate another group of people, but how many battles aren't about somebody doing something bad to somebody else that isn't have a wickedness in it? You know, all battles have a wickedness in it. And evil are in them. But no one really, I can't imagine anyone wants to be in a war. It's not somebody what somebody looks to be. I look forward, you know, we want to be in this war. But, you know, we had some zealous, mighty men David had. They were ready to go. But I'm not saying they're not mercenaries, but most people don't go to war or go to battle for money either. But there's times when it's necessary to combat evil. And God calls us to overcome evil. And some of that overcoming is the battle. It's by defeating evil. You know, David was a warrior, but also a man after God's own heart. You know, he fought for a reason. He fought for a cause. He fought for the Lord. You know, he fought for peace. He fought for the people. And he fought for the nation of his people. Now, there's reasons to fight. And as we know, a brief recognition of our veterans today, you know, God, throughout the Bible, recognizes those veterans, those warriors that did good things. You know, and that's our second passage is going to be 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're not quite there in Bible study yet, but we've been studying went through 1 Samuel, we're in 2 Samuel now, and starting with chapter 4 this week. We do 2 or 3 chapters a week. But 2 Samuel 23, verses 8 through 11 says, these are the names of David's mighty warriors. And so God recognizes those, recognizes feats that they've done because they've trusted. And it says, Josheb Bashebeth, a Tachmenonite, was chief of the three, and he raised his spear against 800 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Alahite. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pasdamim for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. And next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah stood his ground. took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day. You know, David and his mighty warriors, he had had quite the group, as we've been studying, kind of the ragtag group that was trained up and put together by David and won a lot of battles, did a lot of things God wanted them to do. They were strong, they were brave, they were courageous. Now remember, courage isn't the absence of fear. Everybody has fear. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's the strength and the will to go forward through the fear. That's what courage is. Veterans have those qualities. These mighty men had those qualities. And again, veterans, warriors, they fight for a cause. Again, not for fun, not for money, but for a purpose. That means a lot to them. And the price is high. You know, the price is high. The cost, you know, there's part of your life you gave up to serve. You know, that cost, part of your life that you gave up. You got the physical anguish, the mental anguish of a lot of days that they endured while going through their time. And so they've gone through a lot, and we need to honor them. You know, each and every day, we need to thank them. We need to remember what they accomplished and what they provided for those who they fought for. You know, again, several places in the Bible, God recognizes them. Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, is another, but 2 Samuel we just read. But there's different passages that recognizes and calls out these warriors that were there doing what God's will is. You know, they all trusted God. God said, I'll be with you in it, but you got to go. You got to do it. You got to be in the battle. You know, this is just three of David's mighty men. There's others, but as with veterans, we need to learn from them also. You know, Joshua Bashebeth, I said like that, like I know how to pronounce it, but says he was the chief of the three. You know, he raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. That's a tough guy. That's a tough guy. But we need to learn to people who take a stand. You know, we have to take a stand despite what might be against odds of a victory. You know, Joshua had 800-1 odds, and he come out on top. But he knew who the opposition was. And he knew who was on his side. You know, why did he do it? Again, because he was fighting for something. He was fighting for someone, something more than just himself. Where did he get his strength from? I think we know. God says, I'll be with you. I'll go ahead of you. God gave him a great victory. Eleazar was another one of the three mighty warriors recognized, and he was there against the Philistines. And as it says, when Israel retreated, he stood his ground. He took a stand again. You know, even when those around him left, you know, he was there and he fought with endurance. You know, he struck down the enemy until his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. You know, ever do something for so long your hand feels like it's froze up? You can't move it. You know, maybe use a hammer or a shovel or some other tool, or maybe just grip something for a long time. Maybe you drove for a long time, your hands are on the steering wheel, or even on a motorcycle, your hands out there, and you know, you kind of move and your hands are still like this. You know, when you take them off, they want to stay in that position. That's the way Eleazar felt. He felt that sword in the battle. That's how long he held on to it, using it. And you can imagine how Samson was when he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. I'm sure that was pretty melded into his hand by the time he finished too. But we need to endure. We need to stand up in the battle. We need to fight as long as it takes to overcome the enemy. We can't give up. And if we do, the Lord will bring about great victory like he did with Eleazar. Shammah was the third warrior mentioned, recognized in this section. It said the evil Philistines again banded together, and Israel troops fled from them. But Shammah stood his stand too, took his stand. You know, they were all running in a lentil field, a pea field. You know, they were running. And he got to the middle of the field. He said, that's enough. He drew a line in the middle of the field and said, this is it. You know, I'm not going to take it anymore. And he defended what he stood for. And the Philistines were struck down, and the Lord again brought about a great victory. You know, sometimes it's the opposition that scares us off. Sometimes the odds may look very good, don't look very good in a battle. Other times it may be that we may not seem to have many allies with us. They've all kind of disappeared when hard times come up, questions come up. Sometimes it's up to us to take a stand when no one else will. God calls us to do that. And if you happen to not be on the front lines, it's okay. It's still important to be involved. Support is so important. Support's important. Just like our troops, a simple letter, you know, a card, a small gift, a letter of encouragement, just appreciation and thankfulness. And prayer support's a must. Got to do that. You know, we're going to have a invitation in a minute, but you know, an 18-year-old apparently in Seattle decided he wanted to take a police car for a ride, and he got in it, and he took his joy ride, and of course the theft was reported on the law enforcement broadcasts, and a bicycle patrol officer in downtown Seattle, he spotted it, and of course radioed it in. Well, a police car immediately gave chase, but lost the stolen vehicle after he paused kind of at an intersection because oncoming traffic and things. So he paused there at that intersection to make sure of traffic. Well, it was then that a second police car pulled up, and thinking the stopped car was the stolen vehicle, rammed it from behind. So now the two men in the car that had been hit thought they were under attack. So they pulled their guns out and started shooting. A police spokesperson said the officers involved, two in the rammed car and the one in the other car that rammed them, exchanged more than 25 rounds before they realized they were shooting at each other. So that happens a lot today. You know, people are just, they don't know the real enemy. Shooting at each other. Churches shooting at each other. Church members shooting at each other. Not at the real enemy. You know, we got to know who the enemy is. Christians, we're at war, but we're not to be at war with each other. That only helps the enemy. Well, they're shooting at each other. That guy probably got away for at least a while. But we need to know who the enemy is. Not just who we might feel it is. We got to know. Zephaniah, finishes Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. It says, sing, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. You know, he is our mighty warrior, you know. And again, you know, you may not have been on the front lines. You may not have, as the song goes, you may not have marched in the infantry or rode in the cavalry or shot the artillery or flew over the enemy. But you're still in the Lord's army. You're still there. And, you know, a big part of that's communications. You don't win the battle without communication. So while there may be warriors on the front line, prayer warriors are needed. The communication group are needed. Part of that army, you got to have the armor of God. We're not going to go into that. But the armor of God, you got to have all those things on to protect yourself. And then the sword of the Spirit. You got to use all the armor of God. All those things protect you, are used to protect you and then to battle. You got the one offensive weapon. You got God's word. But be a prayer warrior. The Lord's our mighty warrior. You know, and we're part of his mighty men. We're part of his army. And he recognizes those that are in the battle. He recognizes those active soldiers. And he's called them out in the Bible. He's named them, told of some of their exploits. And ultimately, we want called out at the end when he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So you're all veterans. We appreciate all of you. We appreciate especially the veterans that gave part of their life for our country today, that they took a pause in their life to sacrifice it for the rest of us. But you're all veterans in Christianity and belief of Jesus Christ, and you're all in a battle. So use the tools he's given you. Know the enemy. Stand your ground. Don't give up. Let's pray.